Okay, I know it's only been 2 weeks since I've preached, but it feels like a lot longer than that. And I think that's because we had to go home last week after kickball on a tie. So those of you who stayed and played kickball with us last week, thank you. That was really fun. My leg just healed up. I've reached the age where you can't do things like that without stretching, I've learned. My leg hurt for 2.5 days. But we had a good number of people come play kickball last week. We heard from our mission trip group, and so it's been a couple weeks since we've been in this series. So I was just going to do a quick little recap and catch us up, and then this, we'll see if we take this one more week or not. But this was originally a 6 week, and I'm not sure how long it's been at this point. I've had to take a couple breaks, but thanks for hanging in there. So we're in the wisdom literature section of the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Proverbs. We've landed there, and we're looking at the wisdom of Solomon, who was, you know, who wrote this book and was king of Israel and was the wealthiest and wisest man to ever live. And that's not just the Bible saying that, but historians also say that this man was, kings and other countries would come to listen to him and figure out his wisdom and how he got so wealthy and all those things. So, the first week we landed with this statement: your direction determines your destination, right? Not your intention, but your direction. So where you are going determines where you will end up. And so in order to align our intention with our direction, we needed to do these things. We needed to get wisdom or dive into Scripture and understand where we're going and what our direction is. And then we needed to get accountability to stay with that direction, to find someone who might help us along the path, be it a small group, a Sunday school class, an accountability partner, a mentor, whatever, and to get accountability. And then we need to switch our thinking from short-term to long-term, not the instant gratification, but the investing-type mentality. What am I doing now that's going to reward myself in eternity or in later in this life on this path? How am I setting myself up for success in the future? And then week two, we looked at the prudent versus the simple, right? The prudent versus the simple. We used the illustration of the three little pigs or the two simple pigs and the one prudent pig. The point being that the prudent and the simple see the same thing, right? But they act differently. And so if you're driving along the road and you see a road sign that says road closed in however many miles, the prudent usually takes the detour and just follows the path, right? And the simple blow by the sign and say, we'll see when we get there, right? And then they're stuck at a construction site. So the prudent and the simple see the same thing, but they react differently. So we talked about course correction, right? Four parts of course correcting. The first one is we need to change direction, right? We can't get on a different path if we don't change what we're doing. The second thing is that we need to give something up, right? If we find ourselves on the wrong path, typically it's because it started out as something fun or something that feels good or something that was attractive or whatever. And we don't typically willingly, knowingly take the wrong path if it's not a fun or enjoyable process. So we have to sacrifice whatever that is that made us go on that path in the first place. Then number three was face the music. Admit that we had taken a wrong turn or done something wrong or wronged someone. We had to face the music. And then number four is breathe a sigh of relief, because we can, like the prudent pig, we can live in our house without it being blown over and help our friends out as well. So then week three, we talked about answering three questions. The first one is, why do we often find ourselves on the wrong path? Why do we often find ourselves on the wrong path? Well, the answer is because our hearts are on a quest for happiness and not truth, right? Our hearts will typically choose the thing that makes us happy in the moment. Without the Holy Spirit, just humans in general, we will choose whatever is going to give us that happiness now, more times than not. So our hearts are on a quest for happiness and not truth. The second question was, how do I start on the right path then? We read the scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Right? So Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and acknowledge him in all your ways. It's pretty simple, right? Simple to say. And then the third question is, what are my next steps? And we looked at, don't be wise in your own eyes. Otherwise, don't act like you know everything, or you know all there is to know, or you've done something 1,000 times, so you know exactly how it's going to go. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Step two was honor God's provision for you. So be thankful for what God has given you, and in turn, give back, right? Give out of what God has given you. And in Proverbs, it actually said the first cuts of your harvest, right? The good stuff. Give what, honor God with your provision, right? So give back the best of what you have to God. And then number three, don't blame God for your pain, right? This is a broken world. Rough and terrible things happen, and God is mourning and grieving with you, and leaning into him in your pain rather than against him in your pain is the third step. So then week four, we looked at getting good counsel, right, in Proverbs. We're just kind of going through this whole book and picking out these parts that are kind of gelling together. So last week was getting good counsel, the four secrets. Knowing that you will always need good counsel, admitting no matter whether you're 15 or 105, I will still need, you know, there. If I'm 105, there's a 110-year-old who's been there, and I need to seek them out. I need to understand what's coming next, and I will always need good counsel. Number two is asking more than one person's advice. Asking more than one person's advice. Finding a group of people maybe to run things by. Number three was don't let pride keep you from admitting what you don't know. Right? We want people to know, or we want people to think that we know what we're doing. Right? We want people to feel like we understand and have a grasp on things, when a lot of times we don't. So don't let pride get in the way of admitting that. And then number four was take counsel from someone who's been there. So if you're a parent and you're having trouble parenting, or there's a situation that's come up and you're like, I don't know what to do, you wouldn't go find a teenager for counsel, right? You wouldn't find someone who hasn't parented a child through their childhood. You would go find a parent who's been there. You would go find someone to talk to. All right, so that, in a nutshell, in 5 minutes, is what we've done the last 4 weeks. So this week, we're looking at the principles of the path. But the path is mentioned 29 times in Proverbs. 29 times, that's a lot for one book. So Proverbs 1:15, it says, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. This is just a few examples. Proverbs 2:9 says, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So today we're going to lay out three principles of the path. And the first one is one that we've already talked about, but it kind of has to run into this, so we're not going to spend much time there. But the first one is your direction determines your destination, right? Which we talked about back in week one. So just to give a tiny illustration on this, does everybody know what this is? Oh my goodness, I hope more than three of you understand what this is. It's a brick. So, there are laws in place in, I think it's 24 states plus the U.S. territories where you are supposed to be driving hands-free, right? I think we're one of them now. I don't pay attention to most of that stuff, but I think we've been that way for like a couple years. Okay, so Indiana is now a hand, which is funny because the way they say it is hands-free driving, and you think, well, that doesn't check out. But it's hands-free devices, right? So your device has to be hands-free while you're driving. And I mean, what, you know, this is a pretty valid law, right? It's very hard to keep a direction, right, when we're looking at our phone or we're texting or whatever. And it's, I mean, tragic things have happened, right? Because, I mean, there's a reason these laws are in place. But the reason is because it's very hard to keep your direction while giving something else your attention, right? And this is one I've never understood, okay? So you see how this fellow's got one hand on the wheel and one hand on the phone, right? Okay. This, though, completely legal, right? No problem there. This is a true story. When I was in high school, I drove I wrecked my first car. And so my replacement car was a little Toyota Camry, and it was a little 5-speed, so a manual. And I, one night, was driving home. My brother and I, we had just went to, I don't know, Taco Bell or somewhere, and I got pulled over, and the cop asked, "Have you been drinking tonight?" I said, "No, I've actually been eating. Like, I'm sorry, this is a stick shift. I can't do it all at the same time." And he's like, "You know, maybe you shouldn't do that, right?" But there was no, like, there was no warning or tickets or anything, because it's not against the law. It's just, maybe just don't do that, right? But the point being, right, it's very, very hard to keep your attention on your direction if you're doing other things. If you're focused on eating or texting or drinking coffee or whatever it is while you're driving, it's very, very hard to keep your direction. I rented a car this week. I went and picked up the speakers for a senior high camp for the district. It would have been Friday night, and I was also eating in that car. And new cars now, they send this light up. I don't drive new vehicles, so this was foreign to me, but maybe some of you who do have the light pops up. But it basically just says, "Hey, buddy, why don't you stop for some coffee? You're driving like you're sleeping." Like, that's essentially what the light says. I mean, it's nicer than that, but it's like, take a break. And it was coming on every, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. But apparently it's got a sensor in there that says, you know, I don't know if you're crossing a center line or whatever it is, but it keeps warning you, like, listen, stop driving like a lunatic. Maybe you should get some coffee or wake up or just let someone else do it, right? It's crazy. These cars, I mean, they're building these features into vehicles because we can't pay attention, right? Because we can't keep our eyes on the road. There's too many things to grab and capture our attention. So if our attention is taken off the road, what happens? Direction changes, right? Could be the ditch, could be the other lane, could just be swerving a little bit, but our direction changes if we take our attention off the road. So this principle way outlasts cars, right? Cars have not been around forever. They've been around for, I don't know, 140 years or whatever. This principle is a long-standing principle, and Solomon actually talks about it in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 to 27. It says this: "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." So, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your feet from evil. So Solomon was tracking with this stuff. He was very wise before we even got here, right? Sometimes things capture our attention no matter what. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. So maybe an example of something for the good, right? You're a young bachelor, you're living your life, you know, your mattress is on the floor, you've got your lawn chair in your living room, your TV is set up on a cardboard box or a milk crate, and life is good, right? And then you're out one day and a young lady captures your attention and life gets even better, right? You get a couch, you get a TV stand, maybe more than one towel, you know. Life is good, right? Sometimes things capture our attention for the better. There's lots of instances where that happens. But sometimes things grab our attention for the bad, right? Sometimes things grab our attention for the bad. Andy Stanley wrote a book kind of about this whole thing called Principle of the Path. And in it, he says this: my observation is that things that tend to grab my attention are often things I should avoid. Advertisers make a living trying to grab my attention. Great advertisements appeal to our emotions. Let's face it, malls and car dealerships are not emotionally neutral environments. But often the things that grab our attention lead to regret. So lots of other things that grab our attention or pull us off of the path or make us look away are things that lead to regret. So what captures our attention influences our direction, right? What captures our attention influences our direction. This is my dog, Rusty. Rusty is really, at heart, he's a very good dog. He's super friendly, loves everybody. He is a blue tick beagle, and so he obeys pretty well, except for when he smells something interesting, right? He has this very, very powerful nose, and he's bred to follow whatever is on the trail. I say, or if you have honey buns, Charlie, he sniffs those out too. That's a story for another day. Anyway, you can call Rusty. He'll usually come to you. But maybe every fifth time along the way, along the path, his direction to me, he'll accidentally put his nose to the ground, pick up a scent of our barn cat or a squirrel, and then he screams at the top of his lungs and then runs in that direction, right? It's bred into him. He can't help himself. But it's a lot like what we go through, where we're on the path that we should be. God's calling us this way, and then, you know, maybe it's not the scent of a squirrel or a cat. I hope you're not chasing squirrels at this point. But if you are, more power to you, I guess. But we're on the direction that God is calling us to, and something, you know, grabs our attention over here or over here, and we start taking off in that direction, right? And my dog Rusty is just this visible picture of that. It happens all in this little bit of time frame. But so our attention, what captures our attention, influences our direction. So direction determines destination. Attention determines direction. Number three, you get to choose what gets your attention. That's the good part, right? So it's not like we're this Rusty who is instinctively bred to pick up the scent of critters, and he can't help it, right? He smells it and he's got to go. It's something in his brain clicks and he's off. We're not instinctively that way. We actually get to choose if we're going to give attention to whatever that is that pops up on the internet, or whatever so-and-so is saying about me or my family on social media, or whatever is happening. We get to choose what we give our attention to. So you can choose to give or pay attention, right? We've been using some words intentionally. I don't know if you caught it, but for the first part, our attention gets or determines our direction. I've been using grab or capture, right? And then in choosing our attention, we're going to be using give or pay. So to grab or capture usually plays on emotions, like the quote that we read, or like any of this other stuff. It's something that's going to feel good. Maybe I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but this might feel better, or this might make me feel better, or this might fill a void that I'm feeling in the moment. And so I go this way or I go that way. Grab or capture, you know, and capture is typically a good thing, right? I've been captivated by someone, or I've been, you know, you've captivated my attention. That's usually a good thing, a fascination. A grab, though, is usually like a something I shouldn't be doing or should be avoiding. And then, so paths to destruction, right, usually start out emotionally engaging. Would you agree with that? Okay, you don't have to, I guess. I'll keep going. Paths to destruction usually start out emotionally engaging, right? We wouldn't get on the path to destruction saying, yeah, sign me up, right? I want to be on the path to destruction. No, it's usually an emotionally engaging process where something happens like, oh, that looks like it might feel good, or that sounds good to me, or this might make me happy for a while, and then it leads to demise. Now, give and pay, those are things that start out with intentions, right? So it's emotions versus intentions. When we give attention or when we pay attention, we are doing that intentionally, right? It's hard to actually take your focus off of something and pay attention over here without doing it intentionally. Don't believe me? Ask any toddler, right? Just ask a toddler to pay attention to you. Like, they have, that is an intentional thing. If they're going to look you in the eyes, they are working hard to do that and not look at everything else in the room. We give or pay attention. It is intentionally. So paths of success require us to pay attention, right? And not be grabbed or captured over here or over there. But it requires us to intentionally pay attention to what's in front of us. So the question being, what has your attention today? What has your attention, or what has had your attention, or where has your attention been over the last days, weeks, months, year? Maybe it's a relationship that you are in and want out of and want in, or something along those lines, or a career, or maybe a promotion or a raise or whatever that may be. Maybe it's getting a house or selling your house or buying one or fixing yours up, or a hobby, or maybe it's your marriage has all of your focus, or your children, or maybe it's achievements or awards you're going to get that are coming down the road. What has your attention this morning? And then the second question is, what do you want to have your attention? Right? Because sometimes we get wrapped up in these things that we didn't really intend to happen, right? It just grabbed us. What do you want to have your attention? And now maybe your answers for those are things like, well, I'd like to have a stronger relationship with Jesus. I'd like to pay more attention to Scripture. I'd like to have more of my attention go toward praying and maybe towards serving or giving of my time or my talents or my resources. I'd like to be able to pay more attention to those things, and that's what I would want to have my attention, but I can't stop thinking about whatever it is on the list. What do you want to have your attention? So this is a principle that is not bound by Proverbs. In fact, this is talked about many times in the Bible, but we're going to read out of Philippians and then Hebrews. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. It says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. That last part is kind of a knife, you know. All of us who are mature, right, should take this view on things. Those are Paul's words. And trust me, I take offense to that too, right? I'm mature. I don't always take these view on things, right? I get distracted sometimes. My attention goes elsewhere. All of us who are mature should forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead, and press on toward the goal to win the prize which God called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. If we are mature in our faith, we should view things in this way. Hebrews 2:1 says it like this: we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We must pay more careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. How many of you maybe this morning just feel like you've drifted, or you've been drifting away for a while? Maybe whatever, you were on the path, you were close with God, you were doing what he was calling you to, you were working toward this goal that he'd put in your life, and something happened along the way, and now you're off in the woods and aren't really sure what happened. Maybe you feel like that this morning. The good news is we can choose what gets our attention. We can choose what gets our attention. Hebrews 12:2 says this: let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, the question I want to leave you with this morning is, are we going to give our attention to Jesus or something less than? Right? Not to say life's not important and your issues aren't important and not to ignore any problems that you have, but is our main focus, right? Are we going to let these things take us off of our path of focusing on Christ, or are we going to let our attention go to something that's less than that? And when you put it in those words, the answer is like, well, I want to focus on Jesus, right? I don't want my life to focus on something that's not as important. And it's easier said than done. But are we going to focus our attention on Jesus or something less than? So, direction determines destination, right? If you're going where you're going, that's where you're going, right? Direction determines destination. Attention influences direction. Well, why am I going this way? Well, because I gave attention to whatever pulled me there. And then we can choose what gets our attention. So, this week I challenge you to choose to give your attention to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you for this book of Proverbs and your wisdom through Solomon that's poured out, and we just God, we just ask that you would take these few moments of just diving into your word, and that you would allow us to take those take these scriptures and this this time we've put in and just apply it. God, help us to choose where to put our attention and help us to choose the right things. God, help us to just focus so clearly on you that whatever has held us back or changed our direction in the past would just be like a road sign just blowing by. We would hardly even notice it. We just ask that you would just do this work in our lives, change our minds and our hearts to just fixate on you. God, we know that you are worth focusing on, and we don't want to give our attention to something that's less than what you have for us. So just help us to do that this week, God. As we leave this place, just go with us and give us your wisdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to sing. Our altars are always open here.